We come this evening to the last Lord's Day in the Heidelberg Catechism, found on page 63 in the back of the Psalter hymnals. What does the sixth request mean? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil means. By ourselves we are too weak to hold our own even for a moment. And our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, never stop attacking us. And so, Lord, uphold us and make us strong with the strength of your Holy Spirit, so that we may not go down to defeat in this spiritual struggle, but may firmly resist our enemies until we finally win the complete victory. What does your conclusion to this prayer mean? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever means, we have made all these requests of you because, as our all-powerful King, you not only want to, but are able to give us all that is good, and because your holy name, and not we ourselves, should receive all the praise forever. And over the page, what does that little word, Amen, express? Amen means, this is sure to be. It is even more sure that God listens to my prayer than that I really desire what I pray for. And in relation to that, I'd like to read from Ephesians 6 and verses 10 to 19. Paul brings the letter to the Ephesians to a conclusion with this passage that focuses on the struggles that we face relative to the devil. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." So far, the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, when we read such passages as I've read this evening from Ephesians, and as we focus upon the last request in the Lord's Prayer, and indeed the last Lord's Day in the heart of the Catechism, it alerts us to the fact of the environment in which we live. It alerts us to the conflict that we are daily involved in. That, as Paul says, we don't simply wrestle against flesh and blood. It's wider than that. It's more threatening than that. Because we wrestle against principalities. We wrestle against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. It is an enemy that ought to make us sober as we go about our life, about our business. It is not an idle threat that the Scripture speaks about here. Paul is not trying to scare us. He's simply telling us the reality that exists all around us, a reality that he experienced in his life. It wasn't just theory. And all of God's people from the beginning of time until our time will all testify to the fact that what Paul is saying is absolutely true. The church has always faced that hostile environment. And each believer has faced that hostile environment. You know, in this world, when we think of certain areas, I mean, every state, every city has those, where we think it's not safe. And we don't desire to live in those places. We don't even desire to visit those places. We want to avoid them because the dangers that they pose. A couple of weeks ago, I got a notice to do jury duty. I haven't done it for a long time. Never, in fact. And I was so surprised by it. All the way in Richmond. And I hear people speak about Richmond. Just to get to the court, people don't feel safe. Never mind sitting on jury. But as I say, everyone has those, right? Every city has those. Cities are notorious. Some cities are notorious for that. Chicago, for example, you hear it on the news all the time. And certain areas in Chicago, you wouldn't want to walk through, never mind living. But I want to tell you that what Paul says about the spiritual environment we live in and the dangers that we are exposed to are far greater than that. Far greater than that. Because they wrestle against flesh and blood. But we wrestle beyond that, to principalities, to the devil himself and all his hosts, and how subtle he is, and how crafty he is, as he is spoken about, as the wiles of the devil, the tricks, the subtleties of the devil. He is far trickier than any of the terrorists that we speak about. And he'll go to no ends to attack us, no end to divert us, to make us stumble, to make us deny our faith. That's what he does, day after day after day. And so the Scriptures alert us to that many times. Not only here in Ephesians, but of course the whole book of Revelation is about that. All that the devil engages in to attack the church. And though he will not win, though that we are assured of, nevertheless, the struggle with which we engage with him is a struggle that we have to take seriously. And so we begin then this evening simply to raise that awareness in you and ask, when you go into the week tomorrow, whether you are at home or whether you're at school or whether you go to work, how alert are you to the fact that you're going to encounter these things? What steps do we take? How do we prepare ourselves as we go forth? Not to do anything, not to think about it, just to go about our business as though everything is normal, is a grave error. The devil celebrates that every day. When we go forth without a thought about the devil, without a thought about the attacks that he's going to unleash on us, and the traps that he's going to set in our path, we don't think about those at all, then we are not walking wisely. We're not walking circumspectly. And so the Lord's Prayer itself alerts us to that. Lead us not into temptation. Because we are mindful that those temptations may come. And we may be led into those. We may face those things. And we're concerned about that. So concerned about that, in fact, that we ask in the Lord's Prayer, Lord, deliver us from evil. Acknowledging the fact that at times we are broadsided by the devil. We're not ready. We're not prepared. And we fall victim to him. But we don't want to remain in that state. We don't have any confidence in and of ourselves to loose ourselves from his grip, to find our way out. And so we cry out to the Lord to deliver us from him. And so the subject is very practical for each and every one of us. We face it every day. And so the Catechism helps us to prepare, to get our mind properly focused on this danger. And the first thing that the Catechism alerts us to heighten our sensitivity to this, is to point out our weakness. To point out our weakness. That when we look at ourselves in comparison to the devil and all his trickery, then if we think that we can take him on in and of ourselves, then we are foolhardy. We are making a serious mistake. And so the Catechism teaches us to confess that by ourselves we are too weak to hold our own, even for a moment. Even for a moment. And if you want any proof as far as that is concerned, then all we have to do is look at our first parents, who were righteous, holy, knowing God, having fellowship with God. We are already fallen. We are already weak. But they weren't in that state. And when they faced the devil, we might say it was like taking an adult taking on an infant. I mean, the devil ran rings around them. And though they sought to stand firm, the devil so twisted God's word, so led them to look at the word of God in such a different way, from a different perspective, that it didn't take too long for him to lead them to break God's command and to suffer the consequences. So if our parents, in a righteous state, but standing on their own two feet, obviously God was not right there with them, God was not defending them, otherwise the devil would not have won. They were placed on their own two feet, purposely so, so that they may learn this very lesson. So right at the beginning of time, God exposed our weakness in the face of the devil by allowing our first parents to be tempted by him. And they fell. And so we ought not to make that same mistake. We ought not to say, oh, but we're Christians, and the devil can't touch us, and we are able to so easily handle him, as some foolishly speak of commanding the devil and restraining the devil somehow. But no, he laughs at that. Remember, there were some in the New Testament thought they could do that, and they tried to tell the evil spirits to leave a person that was possessed. And, you know, the evil spirit said, well, you know, we know Jesus, we know Paul, but who are you? And you remember they were beaten up. And their foolishness was exposed. To think that we can stand in our own strength and think that we can stand against the devil is just a very rash statement to make. No. We need to look at ourselves. And that's why in this passage before us, the Apostle Paul is a very good example to us, because he, being an apostle and serving the Lord as he did and facing all of this onslaught of the devil and continuing in his mission, nevertheless, he says about himself when he's calling them to pray, he says in terms of supplications for all the saints, and he says, and for me. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. He knew very well the intimidation tactics of the devil. He knew the pressure that he worked it in terms of a missionary. And so he asked for them to pray for him, that he would receive strength that he needed to stand against the devil. And even the Apostle Peter, you remember, the Lord Jesus Christ warned Peter too, that he would come under attack. And he said that, Simon, Satan has asked permission to sift you as wheat. And he didn't say, well, Peter, I know you're strong, I know you can handle it. That's not what he said. He says, but I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. The Lord Jesus Christ took seriously the devil's attack against his apostle Peter, and he prayed for him, just as the Apostle Paul is calling the Christians to pray for him and to pray for one another. So people, when we go out this week to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, let us be sure that we don't think that we are strong in and of ourselves. Because Paul already warns us against that in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12 and 13. That if we fall into that trap of thinking that we are strong and that we don't need any help and that we can just take it in stride, that Paul gives us a warning. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation, he says, has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with every temptation will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. So God is concerned about that. God is concerned that when the devil comes and he tempts us, that we're going to fall. We're going to crumble under that. And so God provides for us a way of escape. Therefore, we need to be wise. Therefore, we need to be prepared. Therefore, we need to be sober in our minds. And remember, as Peter says, that the devil goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And as I've said so often before, if we knew that there was a lion in our neighborhood, we would not let our children go out. And we would not go out without being careful. Just recently there was I forget where, but there was a mountain lion. They shut the school down. There's a lockdown. And rightly so. Well, there's a far greater enemy at large. And we need to bear that in mind. And not only is it reflected in our own weakness and our imperfect faith, but it's also seen in a very practical way in our temptations. So if we want proof that the devil is active in us, that he is surrounding us every day, then all we have to do is look into our hearts looked at the temptations that confront us every day. Those really are the footprints of the devil. And when we notice them in our minds and hearts, when those thoughts come into our minds, sinful thoughts, then let them be proof to you that the devil isn't far away. He isn't kept in hell where he cannot escape, where he cannot come near us. He is in this world. He's described as the prince of the power of the air. And when we look around the world, around us, then we see the influence that he's having on people around us. We see the blindness that he brings in people. We see it in the words that they speak and the attitude with which they speak them. They are mouthing his words. They are battling for his cause as we see wickedness and evil on the rise and marching forward. No, we face those temptations in our own hearts, in our own lives. He's not just reaping havoc in the world around us, that would be one thing. But he's knocking on our door, he's knocking on our hearts. He's in our hearts, he's in our lives, polluting this and polluting that. Trying to break it down. Because he so much hates the image of God in us. All such temptations ought to convince us to take this more seriously and to be on our guard. And it is seen not only in our temptations, of course, but it is seen in our sickness. You want evidence of the fact that the devil has you in his crosshairs? Just look at the sins that you commit each day. Look at the sins that you commit each day. Those are his successes. Those are the times where he's caused you to stumble. And we have them mentioned in the scriptures, not to shame God's people, but as a warning to God's people. And so we have David, I mean the king, a man that God loved, a man that was after the heart of God, and yet his sin is highlighted so that we might take this more seriously. If King David himself, not at the beginning of his life, not when he was a youngster, mind you, when he was king, when he was mature in his faith, when God had done great exploits through him, when he had defeated his enemies all around him, when everything seemed that it was in his control, as he's walking around on the top of his house, the devil struck. And what a strike. It wasn't some wicked thought that entered his mind. No, no, no. It was adultery. It was murder that he led. And premeditated at that. It wasn't that he was overcome by passion. No, no, no. Premeditatedly thought about it. He had time to reflect on these things. But the devil had him so confused, so blinded, that he sent for Bathsheba. And then he schemed to have her husband put to death. His friend, by the way, one of his mighty men, loyal and faithful to him. I mean, what blindness the devil brought into his mind that he was due such a thing. And the Apostle Peter himself, his example is given for our learning. 3 times denying the Lord Jesus Christ. And that at the very moment that the Lord Jesus Christ was giving his life as a ransom for many. Even as the Lord Jesus Christ is being humiliated and attacked and judged and convicted, at that time, the Apostle Peter says, I don't know. I have nothing to do with it. I swear to God that I have nothing to do with. I mean, what fear the devil must have poured into his heart and to his mind. How it obliterated and clouded Peter's mind as to what he had said earlier, that you are the Son of the living God, Christ, the Son of the living God. Through all the miracles that Jesus did and everything that the Lord Jesus Christ taught, the devil surrounded him with threats that he would lose his life, that he too would be crucified. And under that intimidation, Peter spoke the words that he did. People of God, none of us ought to think that we can stand in our own strength. As the Catechism warns us, we would not be able to stand for a second. But not only in terms of our weakness, but also in the light of the devil's strength that he portrays in this world in which we live. And we see it in his domination of the world. We see it in his influence. We see it in the fact that he has the world eating out of his hand. He, like the Pied Piper, is leading people into sin and rebellion against God, which is what the apostle already mentioned in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 1 and 1 to 3. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all of us, we once all conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. I mean, somebody that has the power, doesn't matter what nation they are in, doesn't matter what religion they profess, doesn't matter whether they're male or female, whether they're young people or seniors. He has all of them. He has all of them blinded. And they all follow him. I mean, when leaders rise up, they appeal to some. And then others hate them. And then so they've got people for them and against them. But not the devil. Not the devil. He has everyone on his side. Because he has things to tempt everyone with, to please everyone. And he knows our weakness. He knows us through and through. And so he has the world in the grip of his hand. And Revelation speaks about the fact that he will marshal all the nations around him. That they will worship him. And they will be glad to do so. There's no conversion on their part, but he tricks each and every one of them. And he uses them, and he abuses them. I mean, in a sense, it's like what we've been doing in Thessalonians and the false teachers. They have no interest in the people, and yet they have this grip on people, and they have people following them. Well, that's what the devil is. He doesn't have a care in the world for them, and yet they rush after him. And they will defend him to the hilt. And yet he's leading them to hell itself. That is somebody that knows how to get people to follow. That's somebody that is so subtle. And he's shown that. He's shown that from the beginning of the world until now. As I said, even in the Garden of Eden. He got Eve, deceived Eve. He got Cain to kill his brother. He divided that family already. And he's been doing it ever since. Dividing the nations of the world and yet uniting them after himself. If you want any proof of the power of the devil and the persuasiveness with which he acts and tempts us, all you have to do is look at the world. As I said, whether they're Islamic, whether they're communist, whether they're democratic countries of the West, he has each and every one of them. Each and every one. To spread his evil. And to undermine the Word of God. So when we consider the devil and his power, it ought to make us more sober, more determined, more careful in terms of how we relate to him, how we face him. No, he is, as I said, like a roaring lion. The devil, the scriptures don't describe him in this way for nothing. The scriptures don't engage in flattery. They don't say the devil is such and such when he's not. No, the scriptures are absolutely true. He is like a roaring lion. He does come as an angel of light. He does have power. That even the angels of God, even the angels of God, speak to him with respect. In other words, they don't speak rashly towards him. The Lord rebuke him. That's what the angel Michael says. The Lord rebuke him. And therefore we have a most powerful enemy. Chilling are the words that the Paul uses. Principalities and powers. Rulers of the darkness of this age. Spiritual hosts. And wickedness in heavenly places. So those are forces to be taken seriously and carefully. We have to contend for the faith because we face those forces. They infiltrate even the church, as the book of Jude tells us. This power becomes more and more blatant, as Revelation tells us. The uptake of all of that. Is we need help. We need help. And the Lord's Prayer leads us to that help. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We need help. And the wonderful solution of the scriptures is the fact that there is help. There is help. The Lord is mindful of all of these dangers that we are exposed to. And so, Lord, uphold us and make us strong with the strength of your Holy Spirit so that we may not go down to defeat, would be the case if the Lord did not help us. So that we, may, in this spiritual struggle, but may firmly resist our enemies until we finally win the complete victory. People of God, victory is what God has in store for us. But it's a victory that comes through effort. It's a victory that comes through upon a total reliance upon God. A recognition of the danger, a recognition of the battle that we face every day. And to approach it in the way that God calls us to approach it. As Paul mentions in Ephesians, we need to equip ourselves. We need to put on the whole armor of God. As we've looked at before when we went through the book of Ephesians. We need to arm ourselves. We need to prepare ourselves through the gospel and through the word of God, through understanding the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that he doesn't trip us in this way and that. We have to guard our minds by filling it with the truth of God, so that when he does bring his lies to us, as he did to Eve, we will stand firm. We won't allow him to convince us that God has forsaken us, that God doesn't help us anymore, that we don't have the love of God, that we're all on our own and we have to take things into our own hands and use whatever means and tactics there are at our disposal to forsake God's word. No, no, no. Absolutely not. We have to remain faithful. So we have to put on this armor of God. We have to equip ourselves with the truth of God. Always we need to walk according to God's truth, according to his righteousness, according to his law. We're never to deviate from it. The moment that he gets us to deviate from God's path of righteousness, we're in trouble. we're absolutely in trouble. And so we can never deny that. No, we need to stand with our latest breath on what God has revealed in His Word. God's Word, Paul says, is inspired. It's God-breathed. And it's profitable. It is sufficient for all of our needs. It is able to correct us. It's able to reprove us. It's able to build us up. It's able to instruct us in righteousness. It's able to give us all that we need to face every situation, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's all related to God's Word. And, of course, not just, as I was saying this morning, not just in terms of instructions, but help by means of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit resides in us. That's what the Apostle John says to us in his epistles. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. David defeated Goliath because God was with him. And the battle was between Goliath and the God that he has insulted. David was simply an instrument in his hand. The battle with Job, it was between God and the devil. You know that because that's the way the book opens. That Job was an instrument in God's hand. The battle today is between God and Satan. The church is an instrument in God's hand by which the power of God is displayed. Have you seen my righteous servant, Job? No, the devil is going to be defeated. But he's going to be defeated because of God working in us. Because all the glory belongs to him. No. God is with you. And so when you go out into the week, I'm not saying these things so that you will go out petrified. No. But prepared. Prepared. Ready. Confident in the Lord. Strong in him. Knowing that he will go with us. So when you go, pray. Ask God to protect you and to preserve you when you face those battles. That's the avenue that we're given. Prayer. You have access to God. And Paul knows the power of prayer. For individuals and for one another. That's why he says that they ought to pray. And that they ought to pray for him too. None of us is beyond prayer, the need for prayer. We all need it. Doesn't matter whether we're ministers or elders or simply members. We all need prayer because each and every one of us, or for that matter, we all collectively could not stand against the devil for a moment. If we pulled all of our resources together, we would not. No, we need God's help. And God is ready and willing to give us that help. But we need to see the need. And we need to see the remedy. No, we need to pray to God. Lord, help me. I know I'm going to face opposition. I know I'm going to face the devil. I can't avoid it. He's in this world. He's a prince of the power of the air. He has all these people in his grip. He has the institutions of this world. He is controlling them. He's controlling the environment in which we live so that his ideas are held and promoted more than God's word itself. And so it's a hostile environment. Please help us to walk uprightly, to maintain our ground, to proclaim the wonderful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, not to be intimidated, not to be silenced. Because even the Apostle Paul says, I want you to pray to me, for me so that I may boldly proclaim the gospel. Why does he have to be bold? Because nobody wants to hear it. The devil doesn't want to hear it. He wants to silence it. And so he'll intimidate, he'll threaten so that we keep silent. And Paul was not one that was above being affected by those things. So he said, please pray for me. that I might be bold in the declaration of God's truth to a perishing world. People of God, we have a wonderful mission that God has given to us. But it's a mission that is resisted every inch by the devil himself. With all the power that he has, with all the agents that he has at his disposal, every one of them is used to dampen the gospel, to restrain the growth of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But thanks be to God that with all the advantages that he seems to have, that he's always losing, because God's kingdom is always growing as the gospel brings people, sinners, that are perishing, that are under his grip, to denounce him and to pledge allegiance to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. That is happening every day. And so we rejoice in that. That's why we go forward and expose ourselves to these dangers, because God is saving others through us. But we have to guard ourselves as we do so, so that they can see the power of God at work in us. If we want to tell them that Christ can rescue them from the devil and bring them into the kingdom of God and protect them, then we better show that in our lives. And that's what the church has done. And that's what the church has to do. And that is what it is expected of you. And that's what is expected of me in this room. People of God, let us go forward fully equipped with what God has provided, with a sure knowledge that he is with us. His is the power. His is the glory. His is the kingdom forever and ever. And it will be so. Okay. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you call us around your throne of grace, and you speak to us words of comfort and peace and assurance. And even as the Lord Jesus Christ sent out his disciples two by two, giving them all that they needed, and when they returned, he confessed that he saw Satan fall. And our Father in heaven, that is what our prayer is this evening. At the opening of this week, we too want to see the devil fall in terms of people converted to your most wonderful kingdom. People rescued from his wicked clutches and brought into the kingdom of light. And every one of your people to make it through this week victorious, with faith intact. And so, our Father, that will only be as you go up in our midst, as you protect each and every one of us, and as you strengthen us by your Spirit and guide us by your Word. Our Father in heaven, we pray that each and every one of us may walk circumspectly, wisely, soberly, but confidently, because you go with us. Hear our prayer and bless us as we go, for we pray these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and respond as we sing from